Gary Yerman on behalf of Petitioner. Petitioner's claim today is that the BIA abused their discretion in denying her motion to reopen. Her motion to reopen was premised upon an increase in enforcement of the family planning law in her locality of China, the Fujian province. In support of this application, she submitted documentation in forms of affidavits from people in her locality who were also sterilized after having two children, letters from the village committee who were authorized to implement the family planning law, as well as a government documentation which speaks about the increase and responsibilities of government officials in carrying out the family planning law. The BIA abused their discretion when they gave little or no weight to these evidences. This court has held in Mansour and again in Plinkovic in 2004 that documentation such as affidavits are deemed to be acceptable as true unless they are inherently unbelievable. There is nothing inherently unbelievable about any of the documents and affidavits in support of a motion that were submitted. And because these documents are not inherently unbelievable, they must be deemed true on its face. The respondent submitted evidence to show that there is a reasonable possibility that because she had two children in the United States, she is similarly situated to those people in China in her locale who were sterilized and fined after having two children. Furthermore, the BIA discounted letters from the village authorities because they were not authenticated. The BIA, what they have done is they have basically, in their decision, imputed our legal ways to what they expect should be in China. This village committee letter was on the village committee stationery. It had a stamp by the village committee office. Yet the BIA discounted it because there was no signature. There was no authentication. There are other ways to authenticate under the regulation 1287.7 than to take a document to a foreign a consular's office and have it authenticated. These documents that were submitted with the motion to reopen show the following. In 2003, early 2003, when she initially lost her claim for asylum based upon another claim, that the family planning law at that time was isolated. The year before in the Fujian province, it was quoted as being beginning to be relaxed. They were beginning to scale down the intensity. Well, now in 2009, when she filed the motion to reopen, it shows that the enforcement has increased. We're not arguing that the substance of the law has changed. The argument is that the enforcement has changed. This is a policy of family planning that has been ongoing for three decades in China. The enforcement of this policy varies from years to years and from location to location. In the past, the BIA has asked us to provide specific evidence of locality, of problems in locality, and we did. Now that's not good enough. In the past, they've asked us to provide a documentation from the village committee authorities. We have. It's not good enough.
Well, it wasn't good enough because it wasn't considered trustworthy, and we've previously held that that's within the board's discretion and the IJ's discretion to reject evidence on that ground.
Yes, I agree, Judge Sykes, but it's not trustworthy when it is accompanied with other instances or indicia of untrustworthiness. For instance, if the respondent at a previous hearing was held to be not credible, or if there was prior documents that were submitted that were found to be unreliable and fraudulent. There's nothing in this in the history of this file to indicate there's any indicia of fraudulent or a reason for it not to be credible. And this circuit should follow the Second Circuit's position that falso in uno is not falso in toto, and we can't even get to the falso in uno phase because there's nothing been presented that would indicate that this respondent and her evidence should not be deemed credible. It is the BIA and the immigration court's responsibility to do an investigation to find out if something's credible or not. The BIA's responsibility is to simply look at the evidence under 1003.2 and say, have the country conditions changed materially? Have they worsened materially?
That's a question I have. We talk about country conditions, but then we break it down into provinces, and that's what your argument is here, that it's a locality. It could be a village or a city or a province that may or may not be consistent with the entire country.
That's correct. And in the 2008 country report, which the BIA took administrative notice of, it's our assertion that the country report, the Fujian province in that country report, was shown to have a significant increase in their implementation of the family planning law. Now, the governments could argue, well, they may have, but it's still only being utilized through economic sanctions. That's not for this court to decide. The question is, has it increased? We believe the evidence, informed the affidavits, the village committee letter, the government documentation, and the country reports indicate that it has. And there are significant and serious consequences if this woman is returned to China with her two children, because she will be forcibly sterilized. Thank you.
Ms. Sherman.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Jessica Sherman on behalf of the respondent, Eric Holder. The Board properly exercised its discretion in denying the motion to reopen in this case. Lynn filed her motion over 4 years after the filing deadline, and she did not demonstrate a change in country conditions to excuse the untimeliness of her motion. As an independent and alternative basis for denying relief, the Board concluded that she didn't establish prima facie eligibility for relief. She asked to show that both bases of the Board's decision was arbitrary, irrational, and contrary to law, and she has not met this burden. First, she failed to show that there was a material change in the conditions in China since her hearing in 2003. Before the immigration judge in 2003, she presented a claim based on fear that she would be sterilized under the family planning laws for having one child while she was not married. And the evidence she presented to support that claim is strikingly similar to the evidence that she filed with the motion to reopen. The evidence in the record shows that in 2003 there were instances of forced abortion and sterilization, routine allegations of forced abortion and sterilization, that threats and coercion and forced sterilization and abortions occurred, and that the government relied on education, propaganda, economic incentives, and other coercive measures to enforce the family planning laws. There's nothing substantively different from what she's claiming today, or what she claimed in 2009 with her motion to reopen.
Isn't she claiming a difference in the degree of enforcement?
Yes, that's what she was claiming.
Enforcement.
That's what she was claiming, but the evidence does not show that because the evidence submitted in 2003 is similar. The 2008 State Department report talks about education, propaganda, other economic incentives to complying with the family planning laws, which is exactly the same that, of the evidence in 2003. Again, in 2003, the evidence showed that there were allegations of forced sterilization and abortion, and that's the same as the evidence she submitted. In fact, many of the letters she submitted don't say anything about a change in country conditions. They talk about that the family planning law is harsh, but the letter from her mother, her friend, her cousin's wife say nothing has changed. It doesn't mention a change in the law. Lynn's own affidavit says that there has been a change in law, but that's not based on personal knowledge. That's based on anecdotal stories from her family in China. And although some of the letters, like the letter from her cousin, generally state that there has been an increased enforcement, it doesn't provide any details of how enforcement has increased, and it's not enough to demonstrate a material change, which is required under the law. And so for that reason alone, the Board properly denied reopening because she didn't overcome her burden of establishing that the untimeliness of her motion should be excused. As a separate basis for denying reopening, she did not establish prima facie eligibility for asylum. She did not show that if proceedings were reopened, she'd have a likelihood of success on her claim. It's because the evidence she submitted was not genuine, authentic, and objectively reasonable. As the Board noted, most of the evidence was unauthenticated, and she never explained in her motion to reopen why she couldn't have authenticated. She never gave any proffered reason for why the evidence was not authenticated.
What type of system would you need to have it authenticated?
Well, under the regulations 8 CFR 1287.6, authentication is completed by having it authenticated by a Chinese official and also by a foreign service officer in the United States. But in addition to the evidence not being authenticated, the board had several other reasons for discounting all of the evidence she presented. The Village Committee notices were suspect on their face because they were issued on the very same day, even though they were purportedly obtained by different individuals, her mother and her brother's husband, or her husband's brother. They were identical. They didn't have a signature on them.
But it's up to the discretion of the immigration judge to determine whether or not to accept it, even though it doesn't have authentic.
Correct. It's in the discretion of the agency to accept evidence. And the State Department reports show that there's widespread document fraud in China, especially in Fujian province. So the board had ample reason to doubt the authenticity, in addition to the fact that it was unauthenticated. In addition, none of the evidence says that she would be forcibly sterilized. The Village Committee notices and the Guanbang town document don't say anything about forced sterilization. And the background evidence shows that economic incentives are the primary way that China enforces their family planning measures. Although some of the letters talk about other women who are forcibly sterilized, she hasn't shown that she's similarly situated to them. These women had their children in China. Miss Lin's children were born in the United States, and she hasn't shown that people who have children born in the United States are subject to sterilization upon return to China. She also hasn't shown that any economic harm
she
might...
Is there anything in the evidence to the contrary on that?
I believe that the 2008 State Department report is not in the record, but the board took administrative notice of it. But in the 2003 State Department report, I believe it says that there are no known policy of sterilizing women who return from China.
How about her American-born child? There seems to be an assumption in the briefs in this case that the American-born child can be registered as a member of the family in China. We had a case very recently where we took the view that a second child, at least born in China, cannot be registered.
Well, as the board recognized in this case, there's no evidence that she has to register her children. And the family planning notices that were issued by the township say that the policies only apply to children who are registered. I'm not sure about whether they can be registered, but they definitely do not have to be. Lots of people in China are not registered so that they can work in other provinces. And she hasn't shown that any of the sanctions or not sanctions, but any of the government services she would lose by not registering her children would rise to the level of persecution. And she hasn't shown that she has to register her children, which the board recognized in this case. And again, the Family Planning Committee notices say that once you register your child, these provisions apply. So arguably, she could avoid any of the consequences by not registering her children. She also hasn't indicated what this heavy fine would be, and so she certainly has not demonstrated it would rise to the level of economic persecution. And so there's no evidence that she could not pay any fine that was imposed. In order to warrant reversal of the board's decision in this case, Lin was required to show both that she established a change in country conditions and that she established prima facie eligibility for relief. Because the board properly concluded that she failed in both of those regards, the court should deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. The government argues that there's very little or no difference in the evidence that was submitted in 2003 and the evidence that's submitted with the motion to reopen. I respectfully would disagree. The Joint Appendix, page 158 and 159, cite to the government policy letter from the Guanbang Town Central, which discusses the implementation of double inspection, forced sterilization surgeries, correction measures, as well as collecting penalty fines for violation of birth control, an award system for village officials who increase the number of sterilization procedures in their areas, and a penalty system for a decrease or delay in sterilization procedures. None of this evidence was available in 2003. As far as registration, I guess you cannot register your children in China if you don't want to send them to school or you don't want to get medical care. But that's probably not what a mother of two children really wants to do in practicality. There is no evidence in the record to support the government's position that you do not have to register your children in China. It's just a statement that the government keeps making over and over and over again by the BIA and the government, but there's nothing to support it.
You didn't really litigate this claim on that basis, though.
I'm sorry?
That wasn't the primary thrust of your argument.
No. The primary thrust of my argument is that there is evidence to support that there's been a substantial increase in the enforcement and that the BIA abused their discretion by not giving proper weight to the evidence and also violated and also was contrary to law by finding that the documentations were not credible because there's wide fabrication or fraud in the Fujian province. It's just improper to tie that to this particular person, this individual. We're not talking about the population of China. We're talking about this individual. And to claim that she's fabricating or lying or presenting fraudulent documents because other people have in the past is not consistent with the law. So we would urge that this court remand the case to the BIA, because I don't want to speak about evidence that's not in the record, but in the last year, there is evidence to support the claims that I'm making regarding requirement of registration and other aspects to show that there's a reasonable possibility of sterilization. I appreciate the opportunity to be heard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Yarman. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.